When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Ellie Gibson.
And it's me, Helen Thorne.
And our guest today is Matt Coyne, aka Dad versus Baby. Okay. Is that right? I can't remember. I suddenly had a mind blank.
Father versus kid.
Dad versus man.
Man versus baby. Oh my God.
This is your turn to fuck up the guest name.
I got his name right. I just fucked up his brand. It doesn't matter.
No, it's just the way people can contact and follow
everyone
him.
Everyone knows, Matt. Everyone knows. Everyone
it's just
knows.
The way I make me livid.
That's yeah. Right. Man versus dad. That's what I said.
Welcome to
baby.
The Slummy Mummies.
Yeah. Oh, we usually get scrummy, don't we? Which is odd. It's obviously
highly
it's
offensive.
When people email us and going, like, usually like PR people going, hey, I'm a huge fan of the Scummy Mummies podcast. You're like, you're really not, mate. Just don't lie to us. Don't. It's fine. Just say, can I put my client on your podcast? I'd rather you're honest.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Well, lessons for PR professionals out the way. Welcome to the podcast, Matt. Now, it says here on the running order that Helen's done, you're an author, you're a dad, you're a social media star and a legend. But how would you describe Matt Coyne?
I'd start with legend and then obviously. Work back from social and then work back to dad.
Yeah. All right. So they're your least, brand pillars.
That's the least of my roles.
Yeah. No, you're defined by the fact you once chucked one up someone. Well done. That's
just the once.
How do you know it was once?
Well,
I mean, it's accurate.
I mean, most babies, aren't they conceived by a single sperm? Isn't that how it
yes.
works?
Many millions of sperm, but then the lucky one that makes it through.
Well, they say it's the egg
houses.
Now, don't they? Haven't we talked about
oh,
this
the
before?
The egg chooses the sperm.
Yes, they used to say it was like the sperm, but actually the egg chooses them. So
yeah,
Lindsay's egg was like, yeah, that one. The rest
what,
of the
like
shit.
A naked attraction.
Yes, just saw the tail. Oh. I went,
Do you know that? That's the one program I can't watch.
Why?
What's wrong with you?
It's because.
Everyone likes a bit of bums and tits, come on.
It's all the shaving.
Yes, yes, what do we say,
so,
Ellie?
So closely shaved.
What do we say a penis looks like?
A wonky turnip.
A dolphin's nose.
Oh, or I like when you say a face without eyebrows.
Yes, it is. Something's not right.
Are you not a manscaper then, Matt?
I'm bloody not, no.
No, do you just, are you full 70s bush?
It reaches all the way around the back. It looks like I'm wearing mohair trunks.
We have to damp ours down with leave-in conditioners.
Yes, yes, sweep it. What we say, damp
it round. Damp it down, sweep it round. That's yeah. right.
Bit of mousse.
Yes.
Anything that's just what to... you ask for when you go to the bejazzle.
Yes.
Just a bit of conditioner this week.
Just a comb, thanks.
Well, we're really getting into the important issues straight off the bat, guys, so thanks for that. So what do you do, Matt, on your blog, Men Eat Babies? What's your is it a blog? I don't know. No, go on. You've written a book, Matt. Go on, tell us about your book.
Man vs. Baby is my blog and my social media stuff.
Right.
Where I talk about
blog?
Parents.
2024, but all right, carry on.
You said it, Ellie.
I was taking your lead. So anyway... So
that's me blog.
Right. So yes. So I started on
MySpace.com/ There it is.
There we are.
Right.
Oh,
so
I must add you on Friendster when I get home. Anyway, well, carry on.
So if you want to go along to HTTPS ://
She only stopped spelling out the name of the website of www. About 2 years ago because I kept telling her off.
Yes, you did. Yeah. And I listened and eventually learned. That's how that goes. She just keeps saying it again and again.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. Sorry, anyway, your blog.
So my social media presence...
platform
is Man vs Baby, where I talk about parenting and in a comedic fashion.
Yeah, that's the goal.
That's the goal.
Jovial tones. Yeah. Yes,
and there's no money in it. I wouldn't bother.
And it really isn't, is it? But then I, because of that, I wrote a couple of books about parenting.
Not how to do parenting, to be clear.
No, like, not really.
Yeah, because I think between the three of us, you could write about that on the back of a fucking postcard.
Yeah,
that's a pamphlet, really.
If you are coming to any of this shit for advice about parenting, then you're definitely in the wrong place.
But, yeah.
So I wrote Dummy and Man versus Toddler as a follow-up, and I've just written my first novel as well.
Oh, so novels traditionally are fiction-based. I don't know if you knew that, Matt.
But thank you. I wasn't aware you were so au fait with publishing.
I've actually got an English literature degree from Sheffield University.
Well, that's worth fuck all, isn't it?
Listen. It's very good if you want to get into video games journalism. That'll do.
A real shortcut.
So how much of the novel is fiction and how much of it is really you just like wrote shit that happens down and changed the names?
The lead character's called Nat.
Yes. Nat Boyne.
And
his son Barley.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's pretty accurate, actually.
Oh, how did I guess?
Yeah, because I'm basically lazy. But that's how I wrote the first two books, is basically observe what's happening, write it down, and then put it on a page.
This is a masterclass.
Put it into Microsoft Word.
This is an absolute masterclass.
You can change the font size.
That makes it longer.
That definitely makes it longer.
Yeah, yeah.
Change the headings.
I like to divide things up into sections I call chapters. I don't know if that's the structure
that's
you've looked at
idea.
Doing. It's quite a modern thing, actually, but it works well for me. Yeah.
You had pictures in your book.
Did we have pictures
in the first one? We had illustrations and little box outs. Do you remember, Ellie? Your mother drew a picture of the bugger me.
Oh, she did. We used to do a sketch with the Write on Dads, didn't they? They had a buggy called the bugger me, and she did a drawing of it.
Do you still do the Write on Dads in your show?
No, we haven't for a while. They were the two hipster dads. I was very fond of Rod and Rod.
As a fellow who's been in your audience multiple times, because you know I love you guys, and I come see you whenever I can. When I'm the only fellow in the audience, the Write on Dads feels personal.
Because last time we had them out, they'd just got into kimchi, or as they like to call it, himchi.
Oh my god, that sketch made me unwell. It was so funny.
Yeah, they have a fermenting workshop called Probiotics.
Putting the men in fermenting. The men in fermenting.
I think they're great characters.
Fermention.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it. We're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I'll sort you out a venue.
Right.
Oh god.
Listen.
Get to the chase, Gibson.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but you've brought it up,
Matt Coyne. Oh, you were totally going to bring it up.
Oh, yeah.
So here's what happened, listeners. A few years ago, Matt Coyne, you know, was we're friendly. He was like, hey, come to Sheffield. Come up north where I live. I was like, I like Sheffield. I went to uni in Sheffield. Very strong curry house. Balti King, sadly now closed, of course. God bless you, Tony. Anyway, the point
English
is...
English degree's worthless, I is hear.
It's worthless. And you were like, yeah, there's this great venue. Can I ask, first of all, had you actually been to this venue, or had you just heard it was a great venue?
Honestly, I have been to that venue.
Right.
In the summer.
And on your advisement, we booked that venue for March.
I mean, I didn't put a gun to your head or anything like that. I sort of suggested.
You invited
that this would be a good,
us.
I suggested that you should come to Sheffield, and this would be a great venue. It'll be a lovely evening.
And what did we discover, Helen, when we arrived at the venue in Sheffield in March?
It was very cold, Ellie, and it was almost like a haunted, abandoned cinema.
Yeah.
With no heating and a very like cathedral-like ceilings.
That's right.
Yeah.
They'd said they'd refurbished the disused cinema. What they'd actually done is had a bit of a hoover, as far as I could gather. Like the dressing room was like a sort of bare-walled sort of
toilet, yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, and then climbed up a ladder to get there.
Not an ex-toilet. That was the toilet.
That was the toilet. And then you climbed up a ladder to get there.
Yeah. And then, as you said, there was...
a ladder.
There was no heating. I don't mean the heating was like on low, it wasn't turned on. I mean, there was literally no heating system functioning in the building. So the entire audience was sitting there in their coats with their scarves and woolly hats on. And I don't know about you guys, I find it quite hard to laugh when I'm fucking freezing.
You should know you've been to both Mount Everest and Antarctica.
Yes, yes.
But were you colder in Sheffield, Ellie Gibson?
I genuinely was. Because in those places, I was wearing like a down jacket and, you know, like waterproof trousers. And in Sheffield, I was wearing a gold catsuit.
I felt really bad. I was sat in the audience. You constantly referred to the fact that he was fucking freezing all night. It was so cold. It was like everybody was vaping.
Yeah.
It was just steam from people's breaths. I lost a toe in that first act.
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew it was cold at the point. Well, I knew it was cold because you kept saying so, and because it was fucking cold. But also, a woman went past me as I was going to the toilet. She was like leaving. I was thinking, it's that cold. Somebody's leaving. She says, no, I'm just going to the car to get a blanket.
Fuck me.
It was so, so cold.
How cold it was. I don't know if you know this. I can't remember if I told you. It was so cold that... And I do. I am one of these annoying women who fucking really feels the cold and bangs on about it.
You've just been to Antarctic.
Again, had a down jacket. Not a problem.
I know.
This was good preparation, wasn't it?
Well,
and in fairness to the people of Sheffield, less penguin shit.
Yes, yeah. It's true. It didn't stink as much.
Slightly.
So after the first half, we came off stage, went in the terrible toilet dressing room. And I was like, I'm so cold. And I was like shaking. And for the second half, I decided the only thing I could do was I put on every single catsuit that we had, from bits we weren't even doing anymore. Yeah. I just put on like 10 catsuits.
You were like a shimmering babushka doll, Ellie.
Walking out, I was in a full plaster cast.
Amazing scenes.
We still refer to it as one of the worst gigs we've ever done, Helen, don't we?
Yes, it's on par with the Thai restaurant in Manchester.
Yeah.
But his little face, Matt's little face when he met your dad.
Oh my God. I mean, when I say I've been to see you guys six times, what I mean is I've been to see your dad six times.
Yeah.
You just happened to be on stage performing at the same time.
We were the gateway drug to the real good stuff.
Yeah, the real star. Because you, of course, are of the right age to you're the prime demographic for the TV show my dad was in, Jossie's Giants.
Jossie's Giants, yeah. So every time I see him, I get a photograph with Jossie, and then I put it on my WhatsApp group with fellas who are of similar age to me. When I last saw you guys, probably Leeds or somewhere like that. It was somewhere North Yorkshire. And your dad gave me COVID, I think.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my God. Yes, I do.
We were
WhatsApping and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Dad's got COVID.
Jossie's COVID.
Well, that's become one of my facts about myself. You know, when you introduce myself.
Jossie's Giants.
Jossie gave me COVID, right? You know, when you introduce yourself at sort of strange events. I did like a book event, which was more sort of a book circle. And you have to introduce yourself with two facts about yourself. I actually got it wrong. It was supposed to be three facts and one that was incorrect. But I gave two facts about myself. One was that Jossie gave me COVID. And the other one was that a piranha bit me on the penis.
Wait, is that me?
I've been bitten on the penis by a piranha. Yeah.
Tell us more.
It was a caiman piranha. It's not a real piranha, I don't think. They call it
What do you mean? What, a fake piranha? What, you got a dog masquerading as a piranha?
Yeah.
Fancy dress party? What are you
just
talking
a fin
about?
On them. It was in the Caribbean, and I got on one of these, these excursions where you take a boat out.
Right.
And they give you, you can buy fish food for like a dollar, and it comes in a little tube. But the tube has perishable paper around it, so it dissolves on contact with water.
Okay.
So what you're supposed to do is jump in the water, break it, so the food is released, and then swim away from the cloud of
all right. So to
food,
observe the and then, fish and, coming yeah. in.
But how about this? But hang on, the food is designed to attract piranhas.
Well, I just think they just happen to be in the area.
Fucking, I would not. Why would you get into piranha infested?
That's what I mean.
With
I don't think they're real piranhas. They're called caiman piranhas, but they felt like real piranhas when you bite on the knob. I'll tell you.
What were you wearing? Were you not
well, this
wearing
is the
wetsuit?
Problem. I didn't break it and swim away from it. I had it in my pocket and just jumped in. And then I just had a cloud of food around my testicles. And then just
nobody wants that! Not in water, not ever! No one wants a cloud of food!
Just a shoal of fish with massive teeth just attacked.
Oh, I like how he has to get that in there. Their teeth were massive. They'd have to be. They weren't nibbling away.
It was a massive.
He dislocated his jaw.
Yeah, one of those reticulated jaws like a python.
You've seen the Meg?
I was Jason Statham.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Well, I mean, it was more of a scratch in the end, but it was it's very.
Nobody wants a sharp tooth around the end of their, you know, life.
No, each to their own, Helen.
Well, absolutely. That's true. Well,
absolutely.
Don't yuck someone's yum.
Different strokes.
That's not a saying.
It is. Don't yuck someone's yum.
We say that all the time.
Oh my god.
You can have that.
The other one we say is there's a lid for every pot.
Yeah.
There's a fish for every penis.
You can add that in.
Oh,
we're
going to
get some t-shirts done.
How did it heal? Was it a difficult wound?
Put some Savlon on it. Yeah.
47 stitches in there. It was a minor scratch, but it was painful. And I had to quickly whip off my trunks.
Yes.
My shorts.
In the water.
In the water, because they were full of food
and fish
and blood.
food and blood, because of course the blood then attracts the sharks.
Whoa!
I mean, so I was out of the water.
Why
quite quickly.
Write a book about this?
But then I got out of the of course I have to get back on the boat with no shorts on, and it's like a family
and a bleeding penis,
a family boat.
With your blood hose.
Why is this penis bleeding? What has he been doing with it, Susan? Oh my god, he's rubbed himself raw. Oh. Was your lovely partner Lindsay, was she there for this?
I think she just refused to acknowledge me as I got back on board and just pretended that I was belonged to somebody else. Yeah.
Oh my god.
That tends to be a route.
I mean, it's a strategy we've all had to employ at various
points. Just pretend you don't. You don't know me, that's it.
Just don't.
So that's how I got COVID from Jossie.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I feel like you should have saved it for Graham Norton, but I'm glad you were generous enough to...
I shouldn't have saved it for the book club. They just looked at me. Just completely.
You told your book
blank.
Club.
That was the
two facts that
I
went first as well. So like,
where did he go from piranha penis then?
Well, so that's the thing. The next person was like, I once read 172 books in a year.
Oh, that's a fact.
Well, great, great fact. Let me show you my cock. All right, Scar.
Did you know, this is one of my favourite facts. Poor Helen's heard it before. One of my favourite historical facts. Mussolini claimed to have read every book ever written. And like, people were like... No, you didn't, Mussolini. That's, even though it's only like 1930, that's physically impossible, 1940. Anyway, so what he would do is he also claimed that he never slept. Like, not like Thatcher 4 hours a night. Like, he claimed that he never slept. So he'd just put the light on in the library overnight, and he'd put a cardboard cutout of himself in the window so it looked like, Benito's in the library again.
Stops.
Oh, he's such a bookworm, isn't he?
Oh.
He just, what's your now always on that new Jilly Cooper? Well, he's got to read all the books in the world. My A-level history, don't write in. My A-level history teacher told me that, therefore it's historical fact. Don't write in and tell me it's not true, because I'm not interested if it's not. It's a lonely story.
Don't WhatsApp us, don't DM us on Instagram to correct us.
Yeah.
We don't like it.
Might explain why I only got a B, but nonetheless, I'm going with it.
I really want to read Mussolini's review of Riders. It'd be such a great review.
Oh, well, I'm learning Italian. I can translate it for you. It'll be fine.
It's the funny thing about dictators. They do say, it's like Kim Jong-un saying he hits a hole in one every time he hits a ball and stuff like that. And Donald Trump does the same. Doesn't
it's he? These almost weird like they've got some things. Sort of pathology that causes them to become a dictator in the first place, isn't it? It's really strange.
Yeah, they're cunts, aren't they? Yeah,
that's right, yes.
That's the thread, really. That's the thing that connects them. They're all cunts.
Yes. And don't write in and say, oh, you shouldn't put Thatcher in that bracket. Yes, you fucking should. Good. That's the politics done. Yeah. Excellent. I know Matt will agree with me, so...
Yes, I know, because I was going to say... One of the things that Ellie and I admire about you, like about you, feel and a kinship with you, is that you give no shits with your social media, and you're a bit ballsy. No, you're very ballsy about, you know, your beliefs, and you just put it out there, and I commend you for that.
Famously, you're super pro-Brexit and incredibly racist, Matt, so, and I love that you just really put that out there.
That UKIP stuff you did was...
Well,
never
I'm glad,
off GB
I'm
News.
I'm glad I've got this platform now, because it's the foreigners, I don't like them.
I'm going to clip that. Inga, use that for the audio clip for the social media.
Put it on the back of the fucking paperback.
We're full. Brett, it is full. Fuck off. No, of course. You're. Well, I would describe you as very left-wing, Matt. Is that fair?
I think I'm quite a progressive fella. I think I'm a normal person.
Yeah.
Mm. I think I'm a decent. I try to be a decent human being. I think that's the only thing I try to do. One thing I decided very early on with my social media stuff with Man vs. Baby is that at some point my little boy's going to read all this stuff.
Mm.
And a lot of it is going to scratch his head and think, what the fuck was going on at the time? But at the very least, he'll be able to look.
I wonder why Dad's penis was bleeding on that holiday. Now I know.
It will save an awkward conversation if he could just flick through Instagram and just look at the pictures in 20 years' time. But if he looks back and thinks that actually maybe I was on the right side of history for some of this sort of stuff, then I can sleep a little bit easier, that's all. So. I think it's mad not to use that,
so is that
platform that you got sometimes.
Is that your because do you ever put a post that has a political sort of leaning or viewpoint on it, and do you, when you put that, do you ever kind of have a pause and think, right, what's, because whenever we do sort of anti-Tory stuff, we know we're going to lose a few followers for that, and we're just like, all right, fine. And we do get the odd comment going, oh, I don't come to you for this, I don't come here. And to be honest, we're a bit like, that's fine, you're allowed to say that, but we're also allowed to say what we want on our own platform. And you don't have to agree with it, but we have to be allowed to express our opinion, because we really care about shit.
It's our shop front, that's who we are. And sometimes, because two of us use the thing, there's never been a time where neither of us has said, oh, look, I think we should say something about this or whatever. We've always back each other up because we've got very similar values.
Well, those are the sort of people that you want turning up at shows and listening to this podcast, though, surely. It kind of, Matt Haig always calls it exfoliation. It's kind of like it's like a skin
sloughing off.
And I think that's, if I ever sort of second guess and I think I'm not sure about posting this, I'll immediately post it without thinking.
Really?
Right. Oh, yeah. So that little edgy
absolutely
bit.
Absolutely. Because the second I start second guessing, I might as well stop doing it, and I might as well stop thinking about it. So.
And is that 100% success rate? Have you ever posted something and regretted it?
Yeah. Not very often. Sometimes I'll take something back down because I realise I've phrased something in a certain way that might upset somebody. And if someone comes to me and said, you've upset me because of this, if that's a reasonable thing, then I'll absolutely take it down and rethink and often say so. I've never done anything super offensive, anything's been worth apologising for or anything like that. But if it's upset one person and their reasoning makes sense, then that's absolutely fine with me. But often the reasoning doesn't make sense. Often it's complete fucking nonsense.
And then you can just double down.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the best bit of our social media.
Oh, you like that, do you? Yeah. How about this?
Yeah. Sometimes when people turn up and they're like, well, I come here for this, and I don't, well, but I don't know why you're coming here at all then. Or scroll past or just move on. Life's too short.
But so going back to your book, which is the advertisement, which is the reason you agreed to be on this podcast.
I'm scared of this podcast.
Why?
Because every time I do something with you two, you drag me into something that's fucking,
unless you come back into the piranha's mouth.
I'm only talking to you about your pubes and getting eaten by a piranha on your penis.
Exactly. As if I've not even shared that with my family before. You somehow have a way of dragging that out.
With your what, sorry?
I haven't shared that with my mum yet about my penis.
Well, she's here tonight.
With the piranha.
Yeah. And some Cinecraft.
But no, last time I saw you guys was at a festival. Was it
We did Camp Festival together, a late night shaboo, I think.
Yes, that was a couple of years ago, was it?
Yeah.
So I've seen you since then. But that time, you guys were on the big main stage, when we were camping near each other, and you said, oh, come along to the thing tonight we're doing in the literary tent. And you can help us out.
It was Dick Advisor, wasn't it? Yes. We did Dick Advisor with Matt Coyne.
Oh, that's
and I
right.
thought, well, it's all right because they'll have to behave themselves because it's in like a literary tent. So it's going to be super sophisticated.
It was filth.
You had me grading cocks for like half an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw your husband's penis. I saw Pete's penis, I think.
In a sock.
In a sock.
In a
yeah,
sock.
Sorry,
yeah. Yeah, we abandoned
well
that
done,
bit,
though.
A bit not long after that, because we did it a few times and then we realised it was more weird than funny. Sometimes you just have to let things go.
It was a funny thing that we shared. We thought, let's just draw messed penises on.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying it was weird for you. What was weird for me was getting photographs the following day sent to me that were just basically cropped, and it was just a picture of me with a big cock behind me and various cocks behind me, just completely cropped, so it looks like I'm just on stage with just big cocks behind me. And that's why stuff like doing this makes me nervous.
That's why you've gone for the audio version this time. No visuals as stated by your agents.
Dear.
Thanks for bringing along the pictures of cocks again, though. I really appreciate it.
And Pete is just waiting out the back when you're ready. He'll be right out. So for your third book, so why did you decide not... Because, as you say, they did very well, the two books that were sort of writing about
Sunday
your life.
Sunday Times bestseller, no less.
Yes. Mm, yeah. Why did you decide to change it up and do a bit of fiction?
Because I think my little boy got to an age, he went off to school basically, and it sort of became his story rather than our story, right? So I couldn't really write about it in the same way. And the other thing is, you can write about babies and toddlers in kind of a generic way. It's always going to be funny because they're all kind of similar.
Yeah.
They're all the same sort of pen, they ask about the same things. Whereas once they get to sort of 5, 6 or whatever, they become sort of their own person. So my little boy's into like Minecraft and Roblox and stuff like that. He's a big gamer. It's very much like you. But there's other kids who are like really into sports or whatever. So immediately, if I just talk about Minecraft and what a pain in the ass being talking about Minecraft all the time, it's immediately you cut off the kids who are all into sport and they don't really need those parents. Mm. I mean, my little boy with Minecraft, he's that obsessed with it. I was wrote about this the other day where I'm trying to get him to put his tablet down for like 2 minutes, and eventually he's just refused to put his tablet down. So I'm thinking about turning the Wi-Fi off at this point. Eventually we get to like a compromise where he gets an extra 5 minutes. Those 5 minutes he spent building a grave of me in Minecraft. It was a really nice grave.
He's a legend. But that is legend behaviour.
He's nice. Inherited someone's quick wit.
It was by the water.
Lovely.
It had my name on it.
Yeah.
By the water, like he just drowned you. He just held you under.
But
while the piranhas nibbled away.
Yeah.
Your penis.
It just like right next to the water. It had like roses. It had a grieving llama next to it. But then I posted about this. I wrote about it, and a woman came back and says, "You've broken the first rule of parenting in negotiating. You are the parent; he is the child, or whatever." So I was talking about this with Charlie, and he immediately went on and built a grave for this woman as well.
Unbelievably excellent.
That's amazing. He is a legend. He needs to start Baby Versus Man, whatever it is.
It just felt right, the right time to switch. And then I said to the publishers, I told them I wasn't going to write another one. They're like, well, what are you going to do then? So I said, I've got an idea for a fiction book. And that's where Frank and Red came
from. And so the book is such a tender relationship between neighbours, is that right? So
that's right,
Red's the little boy whose parents have just separated.
Yeah.
And Frank's the curmudgeon-y...
curmudgeon.
Man next door who's lost his wife, is that right?
Yeah. So he's an absolutely miserable old shit, Frank. He's absolutely horrible to everybody who he comes across. But he's grieving for his wife who he lost a couple of years ago, and it's become agoraphobic because of it for a couple of reasons. One, he just can't leave the house because of his grief, but also because he sees the ghost of his dead wife as his companion. It's the only person he has any contact with, and he's scared that if he goes beyond the front gate and he comes home again, then she'll be gone for good.
Mm.
So he has no contact with the outside world. He's estranged from the rest of his family, and then this little boy appears over the fence with his new trampoline. One day he moves in, and then they become... Well, I can't really spoil it too much, but it's an intergenerational friendship, and they kind of... The whole point of the book is whether they can save each other from their problems, really.
Yeah, and did you, when you were growing up, did you have a really special relationship with an older person, or how did you... What was the inspiration sort of for the book?
I mean, Frank is partly my granddad, because he's Irish. He's from Dublin, and I come from quite a big Irish family. So that that really it's quite a thing about it, a very Irish thing, I think. A character that can be an absolute shit but still be lovable at the same time.
Yeah.
I kept thinking of Brendan Gleeson in my head when I was writing it, and people like Colin Meaney and people like that. So I see me granddad there quite a lot. I see my dad as well. My dad was a real. We've got an event tonight, a book event with Sarah Turner, your mum, as you know full well. So, but she wrote an older character called Albert in her book Stepping Up. And my dad is a cross between Frank and Albert. Albert is just a lovely, lovely old fella. Really, really nice guy. And that's what my dad was, until he got to about 68 and just went, fuck it.
Really?
And just become the most miserable bugger. Absolutely lovely and the most generous fella you'd ever meet. But he was a real curmudgeon, like, I mean.
So what do you think was the catalyst for that?
He just had enough. He was just like,
It wasn't like a sort of, you know, brain thing when your brain changes when you get older, or you know, he had a loss or something. He was just like, fuck this shit.
He just suddenly realised, hang on a minute, I'm old now, I can say, do whatever the fuck I want, nobody can do anything about it. Like, I mean, so I'm sick to death of being ultra polite to people who don't give a shit. So it just,
I think I went through that when I was about 22.
Yeah, me too. So there's probably some of me and Frank as well, like, cause like you say, I went through that when I was about 20 odd as well.
And how was the writing process? Was it like in the film, did it just spill out of you into like an old fashioned typewriter, you're throwing pages? Was it like that?
That's exactly,
was it? Yeah.
The way it was, well, more sort of sitting around in my pants and nipping to the biscuit drawer, and that's basically my entire writing regime. I don't really have a way of writing, really. The problem I've got is I'm a real procrastinator. I'll find any reason not to do what I'm supposed to be doing. Even if that thing is enjoyable, if I'm supposed to be doing it, it eliminates all joy, and I have to find something else to do. So what I found is that if I wrote like a... If I woke up one morning and opened my laptop and just not feeling it, I think, right, I'll just leave it for today and I'm all right. But if I got to the laptop and wrote one sentence that was really good, I thought, well, I'm not going to do any better than that today. I might go,
and that's why you've been writing this book for 14 years, but here it is.
But somehow...
How did you get over that procrastination? Because I think that's something we've all had. We have that writing our show sometimes. Oh, well, we better clear the van out first. Oh, yeah. Better just answer these emails. Oh, we better just go to the shop.
Oh, I'm hungry. Should we make a full roast turkey?
Yeah, that's right. Let's just pluck the feathers out quickly. How do you get over the procrastination?
I don't think I did. I think I basically...
A deadline is a pretty scary thing.
Yeah. I got to the end of it. Somehow it was 110,000 words, and I genuinely don't know how it got to that big. But it just did. One thing I did do is I wrote a lot of it in the pub. I think a pub's a great place to be forced to do the thing that you're there to do if you're on your own.
I think you're right, actually, removing yourself, because my house has never looked cleaner. I've cleaned out every fucking surface.
You're trying to write your second book at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really good at doing all the interviews, because I have to turn off everything and interview someone, and then I'll go back and go through my notes. But sitting down to write the fucking book, everything else, I'm doing a lot of running, suddenly I've got lots of things to do. So and I'm just very bad at it. But as soon as I get started, the thing I think I need to do is just put my phone in the bin.
Yeah, that's the thing about a book, I think. It's what's that saying about how you eat an elephant, a bite at a time or whatever?
Yeah, don't let it near your penis or something.
that's the saying.
That's right.
Yeah. But it's an old joke, how do you eat an elephant, a bite at a time? But that's true of writing a book. I think if you look at it and think, I've got 100,000 words, you're going to be like, fucking no chance. Yeah. If you look at it and think, I need to get these two characters in a car in 300 words, then you'll do it, no bother.
Yeah.
So I just loved it. I absolutely love writing. I can't wait to get back to writing another one. It feels like it's the first job I've ever done that I really enjoy. I've hated every job I've ever done apart from this one. So if they'll let me do it again, then much the better.
Like, Ellie and I have got teenagers. Is it something we could like read to our, you know, 13-year-olds? I don't
see why not. Yeah. There's a couple of F's and Jeff's in there or whatever.
Oh, well, my children have certainly never heard the F word.
Not ever. No.
Yeah, so you might want to bleep that out of the audiobook, whatever. I don't see why not. It's very... I've tried to make it as funny as I possibly can while still being, kind of heartwarming and
it's got your voice. It's definitely got your voice in it. I can hear, you know, and the sarcasm and. But the little boy is Red is so worldly. Like I like how, you know, when he, there's a bit in the book about when he was talking about the old man next door, Frank, having a beard like a wizard.
Yeah.
And the way he sort of looks at it and sort of says, oh, you know, oh, is it? And the mum's just sort of trying to dismiss, but he's got these beautiful insights into the world.
Yeah, I think she says that he must have a beard because it must be a wizard because he's got a beard. And she says, "Well, your uncle Graham's got a beard and he works at PC World."
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was such a. I could hear your voice in there.
But he's very much Red is very much Charlie. He's there's even conversations that we've had that day that have immediately gone in the book about. We had a conversation about whether what would win between a shark or a gorilla in a suit of armor and things like that. And that goes straight in the book. So he has got a credit in
what would win.
It depends on the depth of the water, that's the thing.
I think a gorilla, to be honest.
The armour might slow it down, though.
Yeah.
Especially in water.
Yeah. I just think he's got more rust. Forced. Yes.
This is what I leave the house to fucking get away from.
You brought it up!
Yeah, I've been trying to write a thing this week and I found it quite difficult to work at home. Not actually because of the kids, but because of Pete. Because... he works from home a lot. He works in the loft and I'll be at the kitchen table tapping away. And as you two know, especially when you're trying to write something, it's not really like doing an email. And I can stop halfway through an email and then go back to it and go, yes, 4:30. Yeah. But like when you're actually trying to construct a thing and you've got an idea in your head and you're trying to keep the memory of the idea in your head, which at 46 and perimenopausal isn't always that easy, and get to the end of the sentence and make it sound funny and nice, that feels like balancing a tea tray on your head while shaving a cat and making a sandwich. Mm. And then a man comes in and goes, I've got the council tax bill. And you're like, no, not now.
I've got a house of cards here, Pete.
I'm literally standing on a cheese wire. What? And when that happens, say, 3 or 4 times an hour, I find it... In the end, I had to just go, I'm really sorry, but I can't, if you, of course you've got to come in the kitchen, it's your kitchen, it's your house, I'm not saying don't come in, but just WhatsApp me, if it's a question about the flights we're booking for the summer holiday, or what day the trip to the Maritime Museum is, just WhatsApp me, and I'll get to it.
Could you not give him like a mini kettle and something else?
He's got a kettle. There's a kettle up there. I put a kettle in that room. Do you think that helped?
No.
He's got to come downstairs. And also I did say to him, you know, you really kindly and sweetly always ask me if I want a cup of tea. The answer is always yes. It's always yes. Just make one. Just put it down and fuck off. Thank you. And since we had that conversation, I've managed to get a lot more done, actually.
And a lot more tea.
and Lindsay, obviously, you're excellent.
She drinks fuck loads of tea. It drives me nuts when she's working from home because, honestly, 20 cups of tea.
You've got to have one on. It's like you with biscuits. So I've literally got to have a hot drink to hand.
Chain tea.
All day. Mm. I literally cannot stop. Yeah. You don't have that?
No.
Okay, weirdo.
I do it with coffee, and that's... really good.
Yeah.
I've just got this machine. I press a button, I put the beans in, and it gives me an espresso. So I'm teetering 6 to 8.
Jesus, what?
Coffees a day.
Does Lindsay give you the space that you... Does she respect the coin, the you know, the meditative...
Yeah, she's absolutely no interest in it.
Yeah,
so,
fine.
So that's quite useful.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, when you are a procrastinator, you just want to go and find the other person who's in the house and just have a chat or whatever.
Just been looking at that council tax bill, actually. You're right.
That's just an excuse because he misses you. Aww. He just wants to have a chat. Did you manage to get the council tax bill sorted?
Yeah, it's fine. The first book, obviously, I wrote with you, Ellie, and then I did one by myself. And I fucking chain-smoked. And I would be like, right, you have to write 500 words and then you can have a fag.
Ah, reward system.
Just quit. So I'm trying to work out what can I have? Should I go biscuits? Because I need rewards. I need to be patted on the back. Right. I need an incentive.
Ooh. You considered heroin?
Yes. I heard it's very slimming.
I think you could really get into online gambling. I think get that dopamine release.
Yes, that's what I
something
need.
Something like that. Quick round of poker every 500 words.
Foxy bingo.
Bingo!
just need a little hit of something that's, you know, that's not chocolate and biscuits. Although biscuits are, what is your biscuit of choice? Like if you want to go, well done,
what's your writing biscuit?
Wagon wheel. I know it's not really a biscuit.
Oh, I love it.
What's a fucking chocolate?
Well, it's kind of biscuity chocolate or whatever.
That's like a Twix. Twix is not a proper chocolate bar.
Okay. Is Wagon Wheel even chocolate, isn't it? Chocolate flavour coating, isn't it?
Oh, something, but like it's that. A mellowy... that is more, a nice...
Mellow,
but
there's a nice... Charm in it.
So much sugar in it. Wonderful.
How many Wagon Wheels are you on a day?
Quite a lot.
You need help, mate. You need to...
It's better than smoking.
I'm basically sat in my pants, chaining Wagon Wheels one after the other, playing Foxy Bingo, looking at 100,000 words, thinking this is never going to get done.
And are you a visual person? Because I really like, so I've got like a scroll of paper, and I have different colours for different themes I have in the book, etc. Like, do you go visual, post-it notes? Yeah,
none of that at all. Like, really? I wish to God I could do that, because I just, because it's like, they call them planners and pantsers, don't they? Like a planner who plans everything out.
No, I've not heard of planners and what, sorry?
Pantser, someone who flies by the seat of their pants while they're writing. And I'm not fully pantser, but I'm much more like that. I'm more kind of like, I've got a rough idea where I'm going, but I'm not, I'll find out when I get there, kind of thing.
Well, that's but interesting.
People who really plan Excel spreadsheets and post-it notes, I really envy that, because I think that would make it a lot easier. But my brain just don't work like that at all.
Yeah, because if I've got an interview, I like to print it out and then maybe a couple of different highlighters and go, well, that's that theme, so I can use that quote for that chapter or whatever. I say this all in theory.
When I used to do like long form investigation, I used to interview everybody, type it all up, and then I used to print it out, and then I used to cut it up with scissors.
No, but that's
and then arrange it into little piles.
Yeah, that's how David
and then arrange
Bowie wrote
little
his
piles
lyrics.
Into rough order of sort of.
But I think sometimes
sometimes
it is a physical thing, like for me, because the computer. Well, as you can see, I mean, it's.
Yeah, your laptop is fucked.
My laptop is fucked, but I do like the and somehow about writing, I'll have an idea and then have to just write it on a piece of paper and leave it around the house going, just think about that sort of thing.
See, that's not a bad
mental
idea.
No, but you've just written 110,000 words.
But the fear of that is that I don't really know how. So the idea of doing it again, I need some sort of hook to think, how did I do that the first time around?
Yeah, and do you have like Roald Dahl's shed? Are you going to have like now?
Yeah, I've got a little office.
Yeah.
I don't really use it, to be honest. Like,
For Wagon Wheel storage.
Spend an awful lot of time in the pub.
So what is next, Matt? Have you got an idea for another book?
I've got an idea for another. We'll see how this one lands. We've got conversations about it and stuff, so I'll have to come up with a decent idea in the next few weeks, but hopefully they'll give me a chance to write another one. Like I say, I absolutely love what I do, so I'd like to think that I can keep doing it for a while longer. But yeah, in the meantime, fingers crossed for it to coming out, and all signs are people really like it, so so yeah.
Well, Helen, you loved it, didn't you?
Absolutely excellent. It's a beautiful book, and I, you know, it's like you, it's funny, sarcastic, but it gets to the heart of, you know, what it is to be a man as well, like, and a good man.
Oh, bless your heart.
And I've had a lot on, so
I'll put that on the back of the paperback.
Well done, Matt.
No, I'm sure it's brilliant, because you're brilliant and you're hilarious and not a wanker. So well done.
Yay.
Well done.
Thank you.
We highly recommend the book. For
yes,
someone
we
who's
do.
Read it and someone who hasn't read
That's
it.
That's right. Whether you've read it or not, you'll know. Put that on the cover.
See, we're balanced view.
Yeah.
There we are.
I've been in fucking Antarctica.
He's got to
Don't we
with
know?
You. I've had a lot on. 3 stars.
I like when you get like the book arrived late in the mail. 4 stars.
I've only got one star review for my first book, and it's because the sticker on the front left residue. And you can look that up on Amazon. It's still, and it haunts me.
Well,
it
haunts me. Marked men down for residue before. But anyway, let us move on swiftly to the Scummy Mummy Confessions. Who has got one for us?
Oh, I've got a stinky confession. Now that I'm not drinking or smoking, I've had a lot of time to think about my health.
Okay, interesting.
So I've been
great
like,
start to a story.
Ordering some like online tests, which I'm sure are fine.
Online tests
for cancer.
Oh my God, Helen.
In the middle of the night? So
What, do you have to breathe on a stick or something?
No, you have to. You have to again siphon off some blood into a stick. So I did that today, and I hadn't had much to eat, and I was feeling a bit woozy.
You're not good with blood. You know you can't look at blood. You don't like it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I know, it took me a couple of goes and then I had to like pump my finger. Anyway, I think through this online test that I got off from a 4 out of 5 Trustpilot medical provider, I don't have cancer.
You think?
I think.
What made you think you did have cancer?
I'm really bloated, and then I found out that, but then I thought I did eat 2 packets of lentils yesterday. So I'm really confused. Maybe I should stop eating lentils.
I thought cancer, does it make you bloated? I thought that was chemotherapy. I mean.
Anyway.
I don't know why. I don't know why you're questioning. Did you not hear the Trustpilot rating of this particular health professional?
Where did you buy them from, these tests? Temu. Wish.com.
Temu.
It took 6 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I've had... Maybe probably should just have a drink. But yeah, I've just when I haven't like been very sober,
and now you think you have cancer. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
anyway. I think that's just what not being drunk feels like, Helen. I don't think that's cancer symptoms. I think it's just not being fucked.
Is that what the results said?
Yeah,
you're not leathered. I would if the first instruction whatever came from Temu for the trust for the Trustpilot doctor. Yeah. If the first instruction was siphon off your blood, I'd have been questioning whether it was a legitimate cancer test.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, for £24, maybe.
The whole £24?
Yeah, for a dodgy test to tell you you probably maybe don't have cancer.
Yeah.
Just go to the doctor.
There's some lab there in Korea that's just got like a barrel full of cancer letters and a barrel full of non-cancer emails, and they just randomly pick one out and then just send that email back to you. I'm not saying that it's not guaranteed that you're 100% healthy. I'm just not saying I'd rely necessarily
on... It's just that last time I went to the doctor and said I had really smelly farts, she said, "Are you eating too many lentils?" What, the bloat? And the kids keep saying, "Mum,
you look like you've got cancer.
No, there's something really wrong with you. No one can smell that bad." And I thought, maybe they're right.
And this was actual GP who told you that.
Yeah. I mean, I've mentioned it on the podcast before. Once I did a poo so big, it looked like a tennis ball. And then I asked them to check my bum. And they were like, "Really?" And I was like,
she literally, Matt, no, to be clear, she walked into the GP and said, and he said, "Oh, how can I help you? I've done a shit that looks like a tennis ball." That was it. He must have thought you were showing off.
I know, and then he just said...
Just well, applaud.
I think he's like, "Oh, do you want me to look at your bum?" And I said, "Yes, please." Anyway, anyone else got a scummy mummy confession?
I can give you mine.
Go for it.
Because I'm aware that they're required on the podcast.
That's right. It's a contractual obligation in return for your free 45-minute advertisement for your book.
Frank and Red, available in all
Frank
good
bookshops. Frank and Red. Sorry, yeah. That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
Frank versus baby.
Frank versus man.
Yeah. When it was just after COVID, and me and Charlie got used to doing this thing. We used to go for walks in the woods. And because it was like quiet, we used to play this game. We'd take the walkie-talkies with us, these shitty Buzz Lightyear walkie-talkies. And when we played hide-and-seek, we'd try and find each other by using the walkie-talkies. So he'd disappear into the woods and I'd try and find him. After a while, these shitty walkie-talkies from Timu, basically, or equivalent back then, just stopped working. They just made a fart noise when you pressed the button. So we'd still use them and echolocate each other using the fart noises.
Sorry.
And then we realised that there was literally no reason to take the walkie-talkies with us at all. We could just basically make the fart noises with our mouths and we'd find each other in the woods like that. So we did that. Really sophisticated game, right? So we were doing this. And the one thing that Charlie absolutely adored is if I could actually fart. So not with my mouth or anything like that, make a noise. I could actually fart. He thought it was the funniest thing in the world. So I was in the woods near our house and I could feel that I was going to do a massive fart and it was going to be really loud. You know, you can tell something's going to be really, really trumpeter. And I thought, this is great. And so I could see him through the trees and I just like jumped over this dry stone wall and my shoulders were going like, I mean, I'm just chuckling to myself that I could see it. And I let rip this massive fart, absolutely like echoed, like literally birds flew out of the trees in front of it, like
dogs died. Yeah.
and I could see it, and as it finished and just tapered off, and my shoulders are still going, chuckling. And I turned around, and there's an entire family having a picnic.
Oh, that's a shame.
Every generation of this family, and honestly, that the old woman's face just haunts me.
Oh.
She was so close. She was so... I can't describe how close she was.
Oh. And, well, that family is here tonight. Oh.
But she was so close. And she... And I just jumped back up the wall and said, Charlie, we need to go, mate. And what haunts me about it so much, it's not just the woman's face, but it's from their point of view.
Yeah.
Just a middle-aged man just jumped over a wall, farted on their nan, and then just fucked off again.
Well, once again, don't yuck someone's yum. If that's what makes you happy. Yeah,
don't yuck someone's yum.
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow.
Well, look, I don't have a confession that can top that. I was going to do something about eating a macaroni cheese, but it's dull. But I will share a thing I saw on the internet the other day, which... sort of related. So I read this interview of Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, I love them.
And Sam Neill was talking about the premiere of Jurassic Park, I think it was, and he was sat next to Princess Diana, right? So we had Princess Diana on one side and his own son, who was like 11, on his other side. And the film starts and like his son's really excited. His son starts like farting like just massively, and just like Sam Neill could smell it, and then he's aware that the smell is like wafting over to Princess Diana. So Princess
Lady
Diana
died.
Now thinks she's sat next to Sam Neill, who's just farting away.
Oh god.
So he tells this story and obviously everyone laughs, and Jeff Goldblum goes, "And what I love is that after all these years, the lengths that man will go to blame that child." So yes, not my story, but a lovely one, I think. So there we go. Go on, tell us the name of your book again.
Frank and Red.
Frank and Red.
By Dog Matt versus Man, versus... or whatever it is.
By Matt Ate My Baby. It's the dog ate
Fart
my
versus
baby.
Nan. Yeah.
Fart versus Nan would be good.
Oh, and it's out now. Oh, thank you. Now, you said you were sort of a bit anxious about coming on this podcast.
Terrified,
has it been
I think
as
the
awful
word
as
I was trying to use.
Well, has it not been that bad, has it?
I absolutely adore your company.
Oh.
And I will always adore your company. The idea of committing it necessarily to posterity, not so sure about. But it's been an absolute joy. So I'm sorry that I didn't jump at the chance before.
And we will come back to Sheffield, we promise.
Yeah,
we've got heating in Sheffield. Honestly, we do have some venues.
Apparently
that have
not.
Have got
no.
Heating. It's mainly just the one pub. Someone has to man it for the heating for that particular venue for that night. But yeah.
Well, thank you. We love your company, Matt Coyne, if that is your real name. So thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you very much. Cheers, guys.
Do you want to do some admin?
Yes, come and see our live shows. We'd love that. That's how we make money. So
that's, I always like to end every podcast, Matt, by explaining the business model of the platform. Instagram revenues are down, everyone. So if you could get those tickets in those baskets, get down to the box office right now. Thank you so much.
We're going to some really big venues this year.
Podcasts aren't as popular as they were in lockdown, and we're feeling the pinch here at the Scummy Mummies. So again, please, get your tickets now. Where are we going? Chipping Norton!
Stockport!
Shut up! Tewkesbury!
That's why people aren't coming. We're terrible at marketing.
Nottingham, when's that?
Nottingham's coming up. Tickets have gone on sale for Newbury, Ellie.
Good! Worcester.
Worcester.
Northampton.
Yes.
Sutton Coldfield. Mm. Chicken Shed. Where's that?
That is in North London.
North London.
Cock Foster's.
Kent. Hempstead Park.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we just booked Oxford, haven't we? We've just sorting that out now. Swansea, Cardiff, Mansfield, Leicester. And then that takes us all the way to Liverpool and Nottingham in June. So
that's right. And then up north we go to Aberdeen, Dundee and Glasgow in October. And then Newcastle, etc. And people of Norwich were coming back in November. Two nights.
And we're going Cornwall in June as well.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to that.
So, anyway, I hope you had a pen to hand so you've written all that down, listeners. If not, you can always go to scummymummies.com for dates and tickets.
Wonderful. Please. And you're on tour, aren't you, Matthew?
I am. I'm doing a fake stand-up comedy tour. It's a PowerPoint presentation, really.
We know this great venue, actually. There's no doors or windows. It's just made of canvas. I mean, it's a tent. It's a tent. Yeah. But it's in the South Pole. It's warmer than Sheffield in March.
Gotcha.
Oh, thank you, Matt. You've been delightful as always. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
Oh. What are you doing?
Could you make some noises?
Don't burp before we've even started.
Make some noises with your mouth.
Okay.
Why is it with men making too much mouth noise?
Wow. It's lucky girl.
It's like being at home getting in trouble for sneezing.
Yeah, stop breathing.
God's sake. Can't you eat an apple quietly? Fucking horse. Okay. Here we go. Hello.
It really is like being... You're like a fucking horse. That's what Lindsay said to me as I left this morning.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.